A popular Outcast production.
What came first? The music or the misery? People worry about kids playing with guns or watching violent videos. Some sort of culture of violence will take them over. Nobody worries about kids listening to thousands, literally thousands of songs about heartbreak, rejection, pain, misery, and loss. Did I listen to pop music because I was miserable? Or was I miserable because I listened to pop music?
Hey there, welcome to episode 3 of the Sound of Life podcast. I am Old School Mike.
And I am Hope.
Yes, indeed. Hope and I are back again. And we are performing in front of a live studio audience this evening. Because Hope's best friend, Paige, is watching us but refuses to get on the microphone.
She's a little scared.
Yeah, a little bit. Anyway, we are going to have a very interactive show because you guys have been awesome listeners. And we got a voicemail in this episode. We have Facebook and Twitter interactions out the wazoo this episode. We will also be having our very first interview that I glommed off of a rapper from Minnesota on the Twitters. So that is awesome, and that will be later in the show. Anyway, let's start off. Let's listen to our voicemail, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
Hey, guys. This is Bill from Popular Outcasts. Just wanted to give you a real quick call and let you know that episode 1, love it. Never listened to Macklemore before, kept seeing his name, and I usually shun anything popular just because, you know, it's not the cool thing, or it is the cool thing. I'm not sure which way to go with that. Either way, I would have not given him a chance, and that's even with seeing an interview with him on Nerdist. And guess what? Totally did, so I'm going to go get all of their stuff, his stuff, and I'm going to listen to that Nerdist interview finally. Thanks. And also, this is a lot of fun. So, yeah. Have fun, guys. I don't know.
That's awesome.
Bill. Yeah, that's Bill from Popular Outcast, our parent podcast. So, yeah. So that's Bill. And that is our first voicemail. Hoot, hoot.
Yeah, and thanks so much for actually giving him a try. Well, Macklemore giving them a try.
Yeah. Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, good stuff. They will be in this episode later as well, because I know that is what Dre wants to talk about. So, anyway, we're going to move on from that part of our interactive stuff. Well, no, we'll get into the interactive stuff later. Screw it. Whatever. We're flying by the seat of our pants again. Big surprise. Anyway, we're going to jump in. We're going to skip the news thing because, I don't know, Hope and I discussed it, and we think that's played out, so we're not going to do it anymore. So, So I'm going to go first tonight, and Hope will follow up after. But the very first song that I am going to get into, being a kid in the 80s, a skateboarder kid in the land of New Jersey where I am from originally, you cannot be into skateboarding at that time period without being into this group. But at the point when I got into that group, I was listening to stuff like Michael Jackson and Cyndi Lauper and Prince and, you know, pretty much any and all kinds of pop stuff that my mom listened to. And she was like, hey, here, this is awesome, and you will like it. And I did. You know, when I was a break dancer and stuff like that, I used to break down in the living room. anyway, back to the skateboarding thing. All of my friends were like, oh, my God, Mike, if you skateboard, you need to listen to this group. They are so awesome. And that group was the Misfits. Misfits started in the 70s, actually. Like, they were old by the time I got into them, which makes them, like, the albums that I'm talking about are probably close to 30 years old at this point. But that's how I roll. I go back in time. So let's hop in our Wayback Machine. And, well, little side note, funny story about Misfits. I decided to say, okay, cool, friends. I will, in fact, go and get Misfit cassette tapes because that is what they had to offer, that and vinyl records. And so old. Yes, I am. I am super old. So I talked my mom into buying me two cassette tapes. I got, what the heck was it? Earth AD and the Misfit self-titled, or now it is known as Collection 1. And I got them, and I was like, cool. And she was like, hey, I'm going to give you these for Christmas. And I was like, cool, that's even better. Except for I don't get to listen to them now. And at family Christmas, my uncle got a hold of them and said, oh, what is this music that you're you know, giving Michael? And looked at some of the titles, like, you know, Skulls and London Dungeon and, you know, Death Comes Ripping. You know, nifty stuff like that. I think, you know, I Turned Into a Martian and Violent World and all that kind of good stuff from the Misfits. And said, oh my God, you're letting your son listen to this devil music? And before I had a chance to even listen to them or load them in my little boombox, my mom took them away from me and did not give them back until years later. Now, strange because, you know, my mother was quite young at the time, younger than I am now, and I was probably around the same age as Drea. Strangely enough, I let Drea listen to the song that I am going to play tonight from about 6 years old on because, you know, that's just how I roll. And, you know, whatever. So we are going to get into the Misfits song Skulls. And we are going to...
Did Drea like it?
Yeah, I don't think she really even understood it, but...
Did it have a good beat? That's all she cares about.
Here, I will let you see. Okay. I don't know, she probably couldn't dance to this kind of music, because you really can't now, can you? Yeah. Skulls by the Misfits. What do you think, Hope? I'm so excited.
You were jamming out.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I was rocking it.
That had a really nice beat. I like it, but I didn't understand why do they need the skulls.
The Misfits had this thing, like, all their songs are based on, like, 60s and 70s movies, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Horror films. They got a song about Psycho. They got a song, you know, like, some of the other stuff, like, Teenagers from Mars is about Martians coming down and impregnating teenage girls babies. So that is pretty much just like from the view of like a psycho or something, a murderer who is, you know, the very beginning of the song says, I don't even remember what the actual lyric is because I'm totally just mind farting right now. but it's like, I'm going to murder you. Because, you know, when you listen to the Misfits, that's what you say when your kids bang on the other wall.
I understand.
Yeah, and the dog, too. I'm going to get you and your little dog, too. Rain coming down, blood coming down like rain tonight. And then it's, you know, talking about bathing in the blood and all that kind of stuff.
My favorite.
And, you know, hack the heads off little girls. Yay. Hang them on the wall. You know, good stuff exciting. For your good stuff for your six-year-old daughter to listen to, you know. It's very melodic. I don't know, a lot of original recordings of the Misfits are kind of like that, where you can almost, but you can, like, it all blends together so much, you can almost not differentiate the words that Glenn Danzig is singing. But you can actually, there's groups that do covers of their songs that, like, really, really just change, you know, they keep the melody the same, but they change the way it's done, and it almost sounds pretty. I'm going to sneak in an extra song, because I'm naughty. And it is a little girl that I found on YouTube doing a ukulele cover of a song that they do called Astro Zombies.
Oh, she's pretty. Actually did sound really pretty, and I think I want that to be played as my graduation song.
There you go. That'd
be
awesome.
That's how I feel about
her. If you want to find more of her music, she is Good Days, G-O-O-D, capital D-A-Y-Z-E, and she has 494 subscribers.
Woohoo!
On the YouTube. So that is it. So what do you think of the Misfits? Do you know the Misfits? Did you know them before?
I knew that there was a band, but there's also a television show, which I don't think it has anything to do with
No, not at all the same. Yes, it's like a BBC show or something, isn't it?
It's a British kind of show that's not appropriate for kids. Kind of like Skins, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nope, not at all.
I didn't think so.
Remotely affiliated. I personally didn't listen to the Misfits past lead singer of the group. His name's Glenn Danzig. He left the Misfits mid-80s. They kind of broke up for a long time. Somebody else came in and took over. I didn't listen to them from that point. Danzig went and started a group called Samhain, which is like, you know, the devil. And then after that, he put out music as himself, Danzig. So, I don't know. That is what I am talking about tonight. The Misfits. Good 80s skateboarding rock. And see, I told you in one of the last episodes, I said, I'm going to flip this all up and I'm going to go some 70s rock on you. And boy, did I. I think they call that horror thrillbilly or horror rockabilly or some crap like that. I don't know. It's just fun. It's good. If you like horror films or zombies and stuff like that, like I said, my kid's listening to Skulls since she was about six, and she understands that it's just good horror fun. My kid also trusts me that if there was ever a real zombie apocalypse, we would make it out because I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. I'd probably go with you.
Yeah, there you go. So, all right. So, Hope, it's your turn. What you got for us this evening?
Okay, well, mine has absolutely nothing to do with Mike's, but I was planning on playing a song by Lupe Fiasco featuring, I don't remember his name. I'm thinking it's Sebastian Guy. But anyway, it's called Battle Scars, if you want to go ahead and look that up.
Yes,
it's,
yeah, there it is. I see it.
Do you know that one?
I don't. I don't know any new Lupe. I know his first record was Food and Liquor.
Mm-hmm.
I know the second album is called The Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Food and Liquor has a good song called Kick Push, which kind of puts it together because it's a song about skateboarding. So that kind of gets the theme of the song, the theme of the show tonight, skateboarding, guys. Let's see. Guy Sebastian.
Oh, I got it. Featuring Lupe
Fiasco. Yeah. It's actually, well, see now, and then the next one says Lupe Fiasco featuring Guy Sebastian.
It's actually Lupe Fiasco's song.
Okay.
Whoever wrote that is wrong.
Okay. I'm going to take your word for it.
Have you ever heard of his songs, Words I've Never Said? That one is...
No, I don't think so.
That one is very good, too.
Unless it's really old and I didn't... I just don't remember the name of it. Then maybe I have. But no, I can't. I don't believe so. So, all right, cool. Let's check out Battle Scars. I like Lupe. He's a Chicago rapper. Young kid. Let's check it out.
Hope the wound heals, but it never does. That's because you at war with love. You at war with love.
These battle scars don't look like they're fading. Don't look like they're ever gone away. They ain't never gonna change. These battle
love. Never let a wound ruin me. But I feel like ruins wooing me. Arrow holes that never close from Cupid on a shooting spree. Feeling stupid cause I know it ain't no you and me. But when you're trying to beat the odds up and trying to keep your nods up, and you know that you should know and let it go, but the fear of the unknown hone another lover's phone sends you back into the zone. With no Tom Hanks to bring you home, a lover not a fighter on the front line with a poem. Trying to write yourself a rifle, maybe sharpen up a song to fight the tanks and drones of you being alone.
I wish I never looked, I wish I never touched, I wish that I could stop loving you so much. Cause I'm the only one that's trying to keep us together,
yeah.
When all of the signs say that I should forget her.
Uh-huh.
I wish you were the best I ever had,
yeah.
I wish that the good outweighed the bad. Cause
yeah.
It'll never be over, until you tell me it's over.
Shouldn't have happened, but you let it. Now you're down on the ground screaming medic. The only thing that comes is the post-traumatic stresses. Shields, body armors, and vests don't properly work. That's why you're in a locker full of hurt. The enemy within and all the fires from your friends. The best medicines to probably just let it win.
I wish I could feel, I wish I could love. I wish that I could stop cause it hurts so much.
So much.
And I'm the only one that's trying to keep us together.
Yeah.
When all of the signs say that I should forget her.
Yeah.
I wish you were the best I ever had.
Hey.
I wish that the good outweighed the bad. Cause it'll never be over.
Can never be over.
Thank you.
you at war with. Love, hope it heals, but it never does. That's cause you at war with.
Okay, so the song just ended, but two things. One, Guy Sebastian's voice is simply amazing. And two, one of the reasons that I picked this song is because I really like how Lupe incorporated, the song is called Battle Scars, but he's talking about, you know, fighting with his girl and then breaking up and wishing that he could get over her, but he also incorporated war with the same thing.
Yeah, he does a lot of stuff like that. This song, I really like Lupe Fiasco as a rapper. I don't know that that is my favorite song I've ever heard from him.
That's okay.
Because that is like a very pop version mm-hmm. of what he normally does.
Yeah, I've noticed that too.
He's almost so backpack that I think at some point a label got a hold of him and was like, if you want your shit to sell and you want anyone to hear it, you need to pop it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think this, I mean, it's a good hybrid of it. I mean, it's definitely catchy. It can definitely get radio play. And, you know, it's definitely an interesting love song.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, you know, it's definitely not like your Tyler love song from last week.
Oh, that one was nice, too.
You know, it's positive. Battle scars don't fade. They never go away. You know, I don't know, having post-traumatic stress disorder from a relationship. I can't personally understand that at this point in life, but I probably could have felt that way at some point in when I was a kid, you know. I don't know. It's good. You have introduced me to new Lupe Fiasco, Hope. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, all right, well, cool. Well, I got some stuff out, and you got some stuff out. All right, so here we are on the B side of things, and I am Old School Mike, and I am joined by my 12-year-old daughter. Introduce yourself, kid.
Hi, I'm Drea.
All right, so Drea is going to pick a song for us this evening, and we are going to check out what it is and see what we think. So what song is it that you are thinking about for this evening, kiddo?
It's a Malcolm Moore and Ryan Lewis song called Can't Hold Us.
Okay, so let's listen to that and see what we think, and I will see if we agree.
Get up, what it is, what it does, what it is, what it isn't. Looking for a better way to get up out of bed instead of getting on the internet and checking a new hit. Get up, first shot, come strut walking. A little bit of humble, a little bit of cautious. Somewhere between like Rocky and Cosby's for the game. Nope, nope, y'all can't copy yet. Bad moonwalking, and this here is our party. My posse's been on Broadway, and we did it all way. Chrome music, I shed my skin and put my bones into everything I record to it. And yeah, I'm on. Let that stage light go and shine on down. That Bob Barker suit game and Plinko in my style. Money, stay on my craft and stick around for those pounds. But I do that to pass the torch and put on for my town. Trust me, on my INDEPENDENT shit hustling. Chasing dreams since I was 14 with the Fortrack busting. Halfway across that city with the back question. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give that to the people. Spread it across the country. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give it to the people. Spread it across the country.
Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us.
Can we go back?
Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling.
ticket, thank you. Yeah, I'm so damn grateful. I grew up really wanna go fronts, but that's what you get when Wu-Tang raised you. Y'all can't stop me. Go hard like I got an 808 in my heartbeat. And I'm eating at the beat like it gave a little speed to a great white shark on shark. We rock. Time to go off, gone. Deuces, goodbye. I got a world to see. And my girl, she wanna see Rome. Caesar make you a believer. Nah, I never ever did it for a throne. That validation comes from giving it back to the people. Now sing this song and it goes like, raise those hands, this is our party. We came here to live life like nobody was watching. I got my city right behind me. If I fall, they got me. Learn from that failure, gain humility, and then we keep marching.
And we go back. This is the moment.
All right, cool. So, Macklemore, Can't Hold Us. It's what do you think, Trey?
I like it.
Well, obviously you like it. You picked it. What else? What do you like about it? What do you like about the song?
The beat. I don't know what to say.
That's the whole purpose of this, though. All right, so you like the beat. Well, we just watched a video. What do you think of the video?
It was cool how he's on the trailer.
Like, yeah, the trailer is very neat. It's like a full living room setup on a trailer being pulled by a pickup truck through like a dirt trail. You know, it's definitely got a party vibe. You know, I really like that. You know, it's got a true indie spirit. I don't know how an independent artist like that gets
all the ideas.
Well, no, I get that he gets all the ideas. I don't understand how he has such high budget video production though. Hope told us before she dipped out for a minute or two, but she told us that Macklemore looks like the illegitimate child of Ron Weasley and Draco Malfoy, for all of you Harry Potter heads out there. That is very true and very good. I think that's right. But I don't know. I liked it. I don't know. He's got a line in the song where he's like, you know, I grew up wanting gold fronts, but that's what happens when Wu-Tang raises you. And I understand that because I used to have a gold tooth with a Nike swoosh in it. So, you know, hey,
you
but
did?
Cool. Yes, I did.
No, you're kidding.
But yes, I did, Dre. I had a gold tooth. I did not have a full front because I was cheap and you could get gold Snap-on teeth at the mall for $20. Anyway. Yeah. So you got anything else for us about Macklemore's Can't Hold Us, or is that all for you?
Every single person at my school likes that song. Like literally every single person.
So it's hugely popular in the 12
year
old world.
It just came out like last week. Well, it probably came out like 2 months ago, but we find out last week.
Very cool. All right. Well, thank you, kid. I appreciate it. We did get some interaction this week, which we spoke about earlier. We got two different people who have been getting with us about some stuff. Jared Hazelwood asked if we knew of or liked the group Steam Powered Giraffe. And I said, hell no, I've never heard of them. But with a name like Steam Powered Giraffe, I have to check out who that is.
It's catchy.
And said, we will definitely talk about it on episode 3. Well, Steam Powered Giraffe, I'm just going to play their song. We're doing this off YouTube again. So I hope you will be able to see them. Okay. And page you too. You will be able to see Steam Powered Giraffe and know exactly what they are all about from any of their videos. They are, let's see. All right.
Do they wear masks and stuff? Oh, no.
No.
Oh, okay.
Sort of.
Mm, okay.
Here, I will. They're not like Slipknot. No. Not like Slipknot. Okay. They're not a hard group at all. All
right.
It is definitely catchy music. And if my YouTube will ever play, we could get past these
animal print commercials.
And okay, here is Steam Powered Giraffe and the song Honeybee.
Thank you. To know you out, I find myself without. Hello, goodbye, I'm rather crazy, and I never thought I was crazy.
All right, so that was Steam Powered Giraffe, you know, and the song was Honeybee. So, what'd you think? What was your first thoughts when you saw it, or when you heard it?
Okay, well, when I saw it, it kind of it reminded me of the way that they were dressed, and apparently that's how they always dress, and they have the makeup on. It reminded me of a mixture of The Legend of Zorro and a Clockwork Orange kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's what they looked like, not what they act like.
I
really like them. I'm going to go home and listen to more of their music and see if I can actually get into it. And I told Mike earlier that I like this song so much, I was going to listen to it on repeat right before bed until I hate it. Like, I can't stand it anymore.
So, Jared, thank you, sir. Basically, for the listening audience who just heard that, go to YouTube, check them out. These guys are, I'll read you the description of what the group is. Steam Powered Giraffe is a musical project formed in San Diego in 2008, that is popular in the steampunk subculture. Well, that is very, very fitting, because they are steampunk to a fit. Basically, the band dresses up like steam-powered robots. They are a steampunk group. They are robots who, basically, the backstory is, their fictional backstory explains why they pantomime as robots. According to that narrative, the musical automatons were invented by a rich San Diego inventor named Colonel P.A. Walter in 1896 and kept in the Walter family over the years. They were called the eighth and a half wonder of the world. The robots were a technological marvel that ran off steam-powered engines and artificial intelligence. The band's name is said to come from Walter's first robot, a giant mechanical giraffe. There is a fictional timeline on the band's website. Check them out. It is awesome. The lead singer's name is The Spine. Like, he is the spine of the group.
The backbone.
Yes, the backbone, if you will. They have, like, four albums since 2008. It's really interesting. I have been to comic conventions before, and I have seen steampunk bands, and their instruments are tooled out with, like, copper and you know, fittings. And they're in their typical steampunk garb. But I've never seen anyone do the full, I am a robot, I am a mechanical automaton of music, and sticking with it. Like, their live performances, they're in full makeup, dressed up that way. Check them out. It is really interesting. And thank you, Mr. Jared Hazelwood. We do appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
Chris Rao hit us up. Well, Jared hit us up on Facebook. Chris Rao has been going on a Twitter discussion with me, which I will get into next week. Anyway, he said, oh, you're into the raps, Mike. All right, cool. "Have you ever heard Chitty Bang?" And I said, "I have never heard him." And I'm pretty sure he said, "No, you have never heard them." So,
I have heard of them. I like them. Some of their songs, not all of them.
I don't have a clue as to who this is, so Chris and Hope are going to open my eyes a little bit in the world here. Mind Your Manners by Chitty Bang.
Chitty Bang.
Take a second look and you'll see.
And we pretty much amazing.
There is no one like me.
Yeah.
There is no one like
me. Mind your manners.
You hear me?
And all the people should be raising their glasses. Flow crazy, celebrating the madness. I never thought I would deliver no classics. Then I hooked up with them and they delivered more classics. I be keeping it true. Hotel good, long as I can peep on the view. Like, damn, how high are we? You gotta gamble in this life, Charles Barkley. I'm overprotected, do the dopest of methods. Now my vocal perfected, this is audio breakfast. Yes, so tell a hater he is a slammer. I know they hating on us, but mind your manners. I arrive, will I? Black God I am, I surprise, will I? And I can't rely on another guy. I was caterpillar into a butterfly. I'm living in the moment, why won't you go and own it? And we don't got the spirits, at least we could corona. For the sake, homie, I be sipping Tycoon. And you get the wrong number if I don't like you. Say I'm the man, tell me why I gotta lie to anybody, I'm the best, girl, let me advise you. Why? Because I'm feeling invincible. Junior high school, I had a crush on the principal. I guess I was turned on by the leadership. Now we got the game wrapped up on some Peter shit. So tell a hater here's a slammer. I know they hating on us, but mind your manners. So they kick me off the booth, and we pretty much amazing. Mind your manners. Yeah, this is etiquette. Me and Chitty.
Wow. All right, Chris. Good job, sir. That is good stuff. What do you think, Hope?
I actually knew that song. I listened to it on Pandora.
That's
I was listening.
Yes. You said you knew of them. Yeah.
Yes, so. And I got really excited and started jumping up and down in my chair. I'm like, I love this song.
It is. It's really good. Evidently, they are a duo. You know, they're from, like, Philly area. It's definitely catchy. You know, I mean, I don't know. From the video, it was a really neat video. There's like breakdancing and some weird guys with masks on in a full circle, each with a camera to do like that 360 motion thing. But yeah, I mean, it's really, really neat.
Some of his other music I don't necessarily like. I don't completely understand it. Maybe I have to listen to more of him But that's one of the few songs that I like from Chitty Bang.
Yeah, I generally find that with almost anything, though. We spoke on that before. Like, I have to listen to something like 1,000 times just
until
to be
you
like,
hate
oh, yeah.
It.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's good. And then, yeah, the next week you're like, I listen to this too much. I don't like it.
Yeah. And then you have to wait a couple months before you can actually listen to it again.
Yeah, pretty much.
Relapse.
Anyway, yeah, we're pretty much going to wrap up with that. And that's going to lead us into our very first, like I said, super interactive show. We have an interview coming up with a rapper from St. Paul, Minnesota. But I will just let you, get into that, and we'll drop into that now.
Yeah, so we're here today talking to Garvin, who is an underground hip-hop artist from St. Paul, Minnesota. And so, Garvin, hey, welcome to Sound of Life podcast.
How's it going? Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, it's all good, man. I want to start the interview by saying thank you, because you were... You were like the first person to follow us on Twitter, basically. And I know I hit you up pretty early, like pretty much before we even recorded our first episode to try and, you know, get this interview underway. So you made it super easy, so thanks, man.
That's awesome. No, of course. I love networking, and I just love connecting with people, and that's awesome.
Cool. Do you think that, like, social media, like Twitter or Facebook, is important for, like, your work? Or?
Honestly, I think it's the most important thing right now. It's the most effective way to spread a message, you know, across, you know, even the world now. The internet, Twitter, and Facebook is phenomenal. It's amazing. You know, something at the touch of a hand, and just share my message with pretty much anybody.
Yeah, no, it's got to be a great promotional tool, but I mean, a lot of your tweets in particular, like, you're a pretty positive dude, man. You know, I don't know. I have a personal Twitter account, and most of the people I follow are really cynical and kind of assholes. And, you know, so for the show, I'm trying to just keep it to show stuff. And your tweets are, you know, I mean, more often than not, either funny or positive. So,
well, I appreciate that. You know, it's man. For a long time, I used Twitter as the way that you were explaining that. You see a lot of people just being really cynical, and I used to just use it as a way to just let off steam, you know, and just tweet all these aggressive subtweets, and I realized that it was just bad. I'm just putting negative vibes out there, and, you know, nobody can really connect with it, and it's just a way for me to just, I don't know, I guess blow steam off. But then I realized that I should put more positive energy into it and just continue to spread a better message, and since I've been doing that, things have been good.
So our Twitter interaction led me to watch a couple of your videos, and you know, I found the music on Bandcamp and stuff. And anyone can plainly see from your videos that you got a thing for like hair dye and tattoos. Is that like a punk rock or a skater kid thing, or where did all that come about?
No, it's definitely noticeable that I've grown up in kind of a punk kind of background, but I've always been very eclectic, and I've always enjoyed all sorts of music. I've always been involved in bands and just playing different instruments. So I've always just kind of, you know, done whatever I enjoy, and I feel like with the tattoos and dyeing my hair, it's just fun, unique ways to make like the body a piece of artwork, like a canvas.
It's just another way to express yourself. Yeah, no, I get that.
I grew up with a lot of punk rock for sure, and skateboarding all the time.
That's cool. Yeah, me too, pretty much. Minnesota has, like, I don't know, there's a rich musical background for Minnesota. You got Prince, which you almost don't get any bigger than that dude. But Bob Dylan, Soul Asylum, all that kind of stuff. How did you get into the music?
As far as hip-hop music?
Yeah, how did you get into hip-hop?
Well, a few years back, I started writing hip-hop for the first time as a way to express myself, kind of like a journal, if you will, just writing down thoughts and feelings. And then one of my great friends, my producer, Justin, we got together and we, you know, made a song, and I found a camera just in the hallway, and I made a music video with it, and we had a lot of positive responses from our friends on Facebook, and we decided that it was a really unique and fun way to express ourselves and be creative.
You posted that video on YouTube?
Yeah, it was, it's called Act One. It's kind of, it's not really seen. It's only half a song, and it's just about a minute and a half and very short and very,
I've actually, watched that one.
Word. Yeah, that's like the first song I actually recorded, seriously.
Oh, wow.
With like actual meaning to be a hip hop artist, you know.
That's cool. There's a lot of indie hip hop, you know, I mean, like yourself from Minnesota, you know, you got Rhymesayers, Atmosphere, you know, all the groups that they put out, Brother Ali, Idea, you know, well, obviously not anymore Idea, but.
So Idea still lives on, of course, much love in Minnesota.
Yeah, no, completely.
All that stuff was a huge influence on my high school days. A lot of my friends and I just would travel around the Twin Cities and go to every show, even when Doom 3 had, you know, no fans there. We were the only people at the show.
It's not like that anymore, evidently. I know.
Not at all.
So, with that whole indie scene, you know, coming out, all those smaller record labels and stuff, how do you feel that you, and you're on, what is it, Ludovico Records?
Yep, Ludovico.
How do you guys fit into that whole scene?
Well, you know, I feel like They've influenced me with most of my, like, the style of music that I create for hip-hop. I feel like we share a lot of the same morals and ideas. And I can understand that.
That's cool. As far as your musical influences or groups that you like, are you into rap? Because, I don't know, a lot of rappers say, I don't listen to any rap because it influences my music or whatever.
The thing about that is I didn't even really realize that until, you know, about a year and a half into making music. I would listen to an artist for a long time then when I was, like, writing and freestyling in my head, I would kind of notice, like, similarities. So I did try to stray away from hip-hop. But, I mean, I listened to so much different music. I grew up on, like, Blink-182 and Eminem and Misfits and, I mean, AFIs. Back before they were all super glammed out, Rancid, Live.
My first
Warp Tour was 10 years ago. I went. I was fucking 12 years old.
Oh, and, wow.
I went alone. My mom brought me. My mom took me there, and she just sat on the hill, and I went around, and I saw Rancid and Suicide Machines, and I just had a blast. And I've always like all sorts of stuff.
I got a 12-year-old kid. I can't imagine just dropping her off at a show that big and just being like, all right, I'll see you later.
You know, it was really crazy. My mom and I have had such an amazing relationship. She's always been super supportive, and I've always been extremely honest and open with her and on the same level, you know what I mean? So she knew what was right for me and what was wrong for me, and I also knew the same, so it was really good.
That's cool. So, when you were naming bands there, I heard you say the Misfits. You're a Misfits fan?
Oh, yeah.
The episode that this is being attached to, we talk up the Misfits a little bit. So, yeah, I'm a Misfits fan from way back. I'm originally from New Jersey, and, well, the Misfits are too, but they were putting out music, Glenn Danzig and them, like, way before I was into them, but.
Oh, yeah, those guys have been around forever. It's amazing, man. I mean, it was really unique at the time, and a lot of people still don't enjoy it because it's just very different, but, I mean, it's got a nostalgia to it, and when I hear it, it just kind of reminds me of my childhood and just enjoying myself, I guess.
No, that's cool. Yeah, I can understand that completely. So I guess we should probably talk about your music at some point. So the newest record is Up in the Air, right?
Yep.
Okay, which came out December 1st of 2012.
Yeah. So that was my first official release.
Okay. Now the EP with Ditchweed, is that before or after?
Well, essentially, when I told you about it, I made that first the music video and we put it on the internet, right? We just continued to make music videos. We made a Ditchweed song and video, and that one just got sent around the internet, and it got a few thousand views in, like, a day, and I was, like, just, I was extremely blown away. And I made Enjoy the Silence, and then I realized that I needed to focus on, you know, a bigger project. So then I started writing Up in the Air. It took me about 8 months. Because I was working full time, and I don't drive
like it's a bus.
Yeah, there's references on the album to you writing the album on the bus.
I live in St. Paul, like South St. Paul, so I took the city bus for 3 hours a day to go to my job.
And, oh, wow.
Like, 3 hours one way, 3 hours and 3 hours back, actually.
That's crazy.
So I had a really crazy summer, really long, and a lot of time to express myself and write, so
I guess if you're sitting on the bus for 3 hours, you know, there's only so much crazy bus stuff that can go on to distract you. The rest of the time, you're kind of just sitting there in your own head.
Yeah, definitely.
Up in the Air is an awesome album, dude. I really do like it.
Thank you so much.
It starts off with probably the most simple yet awesome thing that I can imagine. That first song, Seasick. You basically took the XX self-titled album intro and just rhyme over it with a little beachy nautical sounds in the background, you know, birds and, you know, like the water flowing or whatever. Super awesome.
The thing about that song is, like, I had not heard of the XX before, and the Black
Friends
and I were just hanging out. We were hanging out while I was writing the album. And it came on, I think it was someone's Pandora, and I froze. I was like, this is just incredible. I made everyone stop talking, and I was like, I need to figure out what this is.
I don't know. I've been following them since, like, that first album came out and stuff. And, I mean, they're a really good group. The first time I heard that little part, I was like, holy crap, if I could rap better, I would totally do that. And so you took what was in my mind and made it a reality that was far better than I could do.
I really appreciate that, because what I do is I take songs that inspire me or that I love, that I think are beautiful creations, and then I manipulate them and, you know, make my own creation off of what they've made me feel or how they've helped me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
perfect. Which I guess kind of is, you know, I mean, that's the truest form of hip-hop, really. I mean, you know, it started just with, you know, turntables and juggling, you know, beat records or whatever. So if you can find something that sounds that good naturally, I mean, it only makes sense to rap over it in my world.
Right. So what most of the time we do is we find the songs that we really, really enjoy. We sample a piece of it and we do, I actually help do it too. I create the drum tracks and my friends will add more bass or extra piano parts.
Okay.
You know, give it our own feel. So it's, the XX is one of the only songs that I didn't actually chop up. I just thought it was so beautiful.
Yeah. That's really interesting, though, that you can find that small beauty in somebody else's song and manipulate it. I just think it's an awesome thing for people to be able to do.
That is super amazing. I can definitely tell that you have a love for music and creation. That I absolutely love it. That's why I continue to make it, is because to be there, I have this ability. I've always played instruments and made music. So I just don't want to take it for granted and not express myself and share it with other people. And when I got the positive reactions from people and yourself even, it inspires me to continue creating and sharing inspiration.
You know, some of the standouts, I mean, for our audience purposes, for me, C6, you know, with that XX sample was awesome. The song Spirits, Parasite's really good.
Oh, thank you. The Parasite was all original beat by me and my best friend. I absolutely love that song. It's very, very emotional.
Why the fuck would I contest it? She's the best if I broke it. She bought it. If we spoke, then we fought. And I'm still choking on the hopes we haven't lost it. Why'd she go and do that shit to me? Or better yet, would I let myself believe that she was something more than just a skeeze? She said I brought her spirits up, but really I just brought her to her knees. Please. And when I hear certain names, it makes me cringe and think it's something lost I had within. When I was just a kid flipping grins, but now I can't help but to commit sins. They say relationships are only good when they begin, and it's the truth. Even if it seems fucked up to you, what happened to us, it was living proof. You stay stationary as time moves and let your true colors show through. There's nothing left to do but leave you. Someone to cling on to, and that's what makes me never want to want you. Like my ex's past, I hope it haunts you. I know it breaks you down, just know when I forgot you. You fucking bitch, you're sick, and I hope you know you don't mean fucking shit. But the way you make me never want to quit is legit. Don't take it as a compliment. Everything you've done, you've only lost respect. You're way too confident. But I guess I do the same damn thing. But I still think you're less of a human being, and I know you'll never change, and I know I'll do the same. Just get it through your brain, girl. I'm a parasite.
You know, hip hop in general, you know, I feel when listening to people, you can really tell who is being truthful, and that plays so much more into whether I like something than even necessarily some of the music.
Yeah, there's something about being truthful that spreads like a positive energy, you know, a good vibe out to people. It's just a good way of life. I mean,
especially in hip hop, if you lie and people find out about it,
you look like an asshole, you know, to be honest.
Yeah, you completely look like an asshole. So
yeah, I got about 600 bus transfers downstairs. I can show you about my fun time writing this album.
that leads into a question as far as hip hop goes. Do you write, or do you like the new method with Lil Wayne and Jay-Z and stuff, where you don't write anything down?
Yeah, I've done that with a few songs. Where I kind of just make it up as I go, like Generations actually was one of them.
Generations is a really good song too.
That's actually one of my favorite songs that I've ever written.
Of your songs that you've put out, what is the song that best describes your music, or do you feel best represents what you do?
Definitely, I would say Generations, because that was kind of a turning point. When I was writing the album, I wrote that song, and it was when I was just getting over you know, kind of a slump where I was working a lot and I was having a hard time writing and staying focused, and I felt like I wasn't going to be able to finish the album, but you know, my perspective changed, and I wrote that Generation song, and it just kind of pointed me in the right direction to finish the album and just continue to be positive. And so that song really is a big thing to me. It just really represents a lot for me.
Check, check. Okay. Yeah. So this is me, alone again, living in the middle of broke again. I hold it in, at least until I find my way home again. And people ask me why I'm such a fucking weirdo. I don't know, I've been this way since I was 12 years old. Yup, I don't give a fuck about the way you live your life. I wrote this album on a bus.
Yeah, I'm not the most average guy, you could say. I've always pushed for, you know, something unique and something different. I've just always been interested in the unknown, so kind of a weird kid.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Well, that's going to lead us into our last question. What's your favorite cereal?
Oh, yeah. You know what's funny is I just tweeted that. I asked everyone.
I know. That's I stole it from you. Yeah, I figured it would be a good,
good
reference point for the thing.
Since then, I've been eating a lot of cereal because that's all I've been thinking about. But my favorite cereal is Fruity Pebbles. I love that shit. The Fruity Pebbles makes the milk like a delicious treat at the end. I mean, can't get enough of that.
You finish the bowl, you drink the milk, or are you one of those people
finishes
the bowl and then you look at the milk and go, well, I could drink this, but if I can make another bowl of cereal, that'd be even better.
Oh, man. I always recycle it once and then I drink it. I mean, you got to refill it. I just fill it up, add a little more milk, and then finish it off.
That's very good, sir. So, Garvin, thank you so much for being on Sound of Life podcast. We really appreciate it. And, you know, looking forward to hearing more from you in the future, for sure.
Well, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Everyone at the Ludovico family is extremely grateful for what you guys are doing with music and connecting. And we appreciate it so much, and I just want to see you guys continue to do what you do, and we're going to keep doing what we do.
So another Twitter interaction that I got was I sent out a message on Twitter the other day saying, isn't it ironic that we are the music show on the network, and our intro is not a song, it is a clip from a movie about music. That I threw it up to be a placeholder.
Yeah.
And, there's a guy who makes songs for all of the other podcasts, and he was like, oh, well, you know, maybe I'll see what I can do. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Well, he told his buddy about it, and his buddy wrote a rap to intro the show, and all they have to do is record it, and they're going to send it to us to see if we want to use it.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's awesome. So cool. So if anybody else wants to send us a theme song, that'd be cool, and maybe we'll just put them in rotation. I keep threatening everybody that we're gonna do one. You'll sing and I'll rap, or I'll sing and you'll rap.
Yeah, we'll twist it up for you guys. We'll do a little bit of both.
Word, exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, but yeah, so we'll let you know how that works out. And for Sound of Life podcast, I am Old School Mike.
I am Hope.
And I am Drea.
And that is all.
Bye.
We are the music makers. And we are the dreamers of dreams.
Hey guys, this is Sound of Life Podcast. You can find us on iTunes, and if you do, rate and review.
On Twitter at SOL Podcast. Tweet, tweet.
Or you can check us out. We're on Facebook called The Sound of Life.
Or you can always find us at popularoutcast.com. Look for The Sound of Life little thing and click it. Or you can reach out and touch us at soundoflifepodcast@gmail.com. Or better yet, you can leave us a voicemail at 1-612-56-SOUND. Or 1-612-56-76-863 if you have a smartphone that does not have the little letters attached. So that's our spiel. Thanks, guys.
Bye.